Welcome to Local Matters. This is the weekly news podcast from Mountain Express. I'm news editor Margaret Williams, and joining me today is our new reporter, Christopher George, who looked into something to do with tattoos.
Yeah, this week I did a wellness column on a press release from the Buncombe County Department of Health had sent us about apparently there are some unlicensed tattoo artists working around that they had noticed on Facebook advertising that they do house visits and they tattoo out of their homes, and they were apparently being proactive about it, but they had also gotten some complaints from legitimate tattoo artists around about that and about it being unsafe. And generally the idea was that by going there, these people aren't regulated, so they might not be keeping things sanitized, they might not be following all the procedures that tattoo artists have to follow as far as clean surfaces and new needles and all that good stuff. And I talked to Danny Reed of Hot Stuff Tattoo, and he basically confirmed a lot of that. I mean, he talked about how he got into tattooing, which was through an apprenticeship and things like that, and how some legitimate tattoo artists even will tattoo out of their homes illegally, and he doesn't think that it's good for the business or good for the art form. And he also complained a bit about too many people trying to be tattoo artists and doing bad work, also giving them a bad name. So there were two different aspects of that as far as he was concerned. He was concerned with the health aspect of it too, said he had seen some infected tattoos and bad stuff from those kinds of things. So it was pretty interesting. And the moral of the story is get a tattoo from a legitimate place if you're going to get one.
That's the message that was coming from the Buncombe County Health Department.
Mm-hmm. As well as...
Because they had apparently heard other complaints, not just from Mr. Reed, but...
Oh, well, he said he hadn't actually complained, but they wouldn't tell me who had complained, just that they had gotten complaints from legitimate tattoo artists around about it. And, yeah, so from them and from the legitimate tattoo artists I talked to, don't do it, you know. Go to a legitimate artist if you're looking to get a tattoo. Check out their work, too. You know,
check out
sure
their work. Well, that's
stuff.
That's the focus of our upcoming wellness column. Christopher will also be covering some other news from us, so stay tuned, folks. Joining me in the podcast arena is senior reporter David Forbes, who's just been handling a couple of breaking news items today.
Indeed. As a matter of fact, the city announced today that Captain Wade Wood, APD Captain Wade Wood, will be taking over as interim chief when Chief Bill Hogan retires on May 13th. This announcement was somewhat delayed. Originally, they had said they would make this announcement before the end of April, but the city staff later revealed they were that the city manager and representatives from his office were talking with the captains and the lieutenants to get their input before making this decision. Wood is a 19-year veteran of the APD. He's received the announcement touts that he's received some awards in community policing and a Purple Heart. He was the commander of the Criminal Investigations Division. Before that, the commander of the Support Division. So very definitely someone with a fair amount of experience. At the same time, Hogan departed. Though the official announcement didn't make note of this, he did depart under a fair amount of controversy about the handling of the APD evidence room and a sexual harassment suit against his department that ended up costing the city over $52,000. So, it's worth noting that this is an interim position. Over the next 9 to 12 months, the city will be conducting what the city manager says will be a nationwide search with opportunity for community input for a new permanent police chief. Hogan's occupied the office since 2004 when he replaced Will Anarino.
Do they have any notion of how long the search will take?
9 to 12 months.
9 to 12 months?
Yes.
All right, so Captain Wood will serve as interim chief in that time.
Yes.
Good. And in some other breaking news today?
Yes, and this is kind of a shocker, I guess. It's certainly, as a news with some large implications, bound to be very controversial. Representative Tim Moffitt has proposed legislation to seize Asheville's water system and turn it over to the Metropolitan Sewerage District. As a bill filed today, it declares that it doesn't name Asheville by name, but it specifies a city with a population above 75,000 but city county population above 200,000 with a metropolitan sewerage district, which fits Asheville pretty handily. And this is this, of course, is this is the latest in a series of bills that have gotten city and county representatives pretty angry. I think it's safe to say.
They seem to be taking local control away.
Well, that is that is certainly the perception from the city and the county. There's Moffitt also proposed legislation, which has passed the House, without any sort of local referendum, to make Buncombe commissioner elections district elections, to radically change the way they're done. The county commissioners were unanimously in opposition to that. He, along with Democratic representatives Patsy Kiever and Susan Fisher, has proposed legislation to take the airport away from the city and turn it over to an independent authority. The city council has unanimously opposed that. He proposed legislation that passed the House reversing the Biltmore Lake annexation. And city council members at the last meeting were extremely angry about all this and said that they have not been consulted, that Moffitt's moves and the moves of some other state legislators, including some of the Democrats and things like the airport legislation, are antithetical to democracy. They need to respect the local elected representatives and their opinions more, at least consult them before this sort of legislation is proposed. The waters has been fair, has been always been a controversial issue. The state passed legislation in 2005 when the city took control of it, saying that there was some pretty severe restrictions on how it couldn't be used for annexation, on how much the water rates had to be, on what the income could be from the waters to be used for. Though some of those restrictions have since been relaxed, it's still a fairly unique situation. And now, of course, this bill just proposes taking the water system away from the city entirely.
Interesting turn of events. We'll stay tuned to what happens with those bills. You'll find information about state legislation that affects Western North Carolina at NC Matters on our website. That's mountainx.com/special/NC Matters. And we'll also run stories about that in print. So stay tuned and we'll see what happens with this. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Margaret.
So joining me now is reporter Jake Frankel, who went to the recent Buncombe County Commissioners meeting and heard a lot of reports, including some changes coming on in the health system, the health department system that the county manages.
Yeah, one of the biggest changes is the ongoing transfer of clinical services from the Buncombe County Health Department to Winches, Western North Carolina Community Health Services. Representatives from the county and from Winches presented a report looking back at kind of the first year and a half of how those services have been going. In January or February of last year, they transferred a lot of their adult patient clinical care to Winches, and the folks from Winches reported that they were able to increase patient capacity significantly. The contract with the county originally called for them to serve 10,000 adults, and they exceeded that, serving about 13,000. They also provided some information that said that the county saved a lot of money by doing it. The commissioners were overall very happy with the news. Coming up this summer, the health department plans to transfer its prenatal care services to Winches as well. Commissioner Holly Jones said she had some heartburn about that transfer, just because the county had a relatively good record with those prenatal services being offered at the health department. But at the same time, this is a choice they've made, and the commissioners asked to be regularly updated on how that transition goes.
Mm-hmm. Any other reports and things that came out of the commissioner meeting?
Yeah, there was another report about the area's adult care homes. That was delivered by members of the Buncombe County Adult Care Home Community Advisory Committee, which is a group of volunteers who actually go out into the adult care homes in the area to kind of try to check up on them and make sure that the residents are being taken care of. Interestingly, Buncombe County has more adult care homes than any other county in the state. They have 82. One of the biggest challenges facing them, according to members of this committee, is that recently younger mentally ill residents have been being put in these homes that were originally designed for elderly. And they said that creates a lot of problems for residents and the staff alike. They said staff really are not trained to deal with these younger mentally ill folks, and it creates a very combustible situation.
Very challenging. There's a lot of changes like that. And Jake, you were also looked into another kind of a more of a budget issue about the agricultural extension agents. We have several facilities here in Western North Carolina, at least one in Buncombe, and those may be affected by the state budget.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be affected by both the state budget and the county budget. Like you mentioned, the North Carolina Cooperative Extension is a kind of part of the North Carolina university system, but they have offices in counties throughout the state, including here in Buncombe, and they do a lot of diverse work, everything from organizing and running 4-H youth development camps to providing advice and classes to local farmers and facilitating the local farming industry. A few weeks back, there was a proposal in the state that would have cut the Cooperative Extension's budget by up to 30%. I spoke with Steve Duckett over there, who heads up the local Buncombe office, and he said the most recent proposals call for cuts of about 15%. And they're trying to figure out how that's going to affect the department, but it would certainly result in some cuts to possibly staff and definitely some of the services they offer. They're also grappling with a 7-10% cut by the county. They get about 50% of their funding from the state and about 50% from the county. And he said even if the state budget numbers are better than they're supposed to be, just on the county cuts alone, they're going to have to look at cutting some staff and some services. Interestingly enough, he had some kind of striking figures. He said that Buncombe County's agricultural industry counts for over $60 million dollars right now, even despite all the loss of farms over the last decade. And he says the Cooperative Extension really sees itself as one of the main fuels for that economic engine.
They provide a great deal of support for local farmers, gardeners, you name it, the research that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll stay tuned to that topic, and thank you, Jake, for joining us here in the newsroom.
Thank you.
And that wraps it up for Local Matters.